The government shutdown has ended. It will be open for 3 weeks, but what will be the result on February 15?
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
The partial government shutdown began at midnight, December 22 in 2018. On January 12, it became the longest government shutdown in United States history and ended on January 25 when President Trump signed the short-term spending bill to reopen the government for 3 weeks to conduct good faith negotiations with Congress concerning border security. Now that 3 weeks will end on February 15, and what will be the result at that time? We currently don't know whether the end to the government shutdown will be a temporary reprieve or will be permanent or will just last to some degree throughout the year, but ending at this point, we just don't know. Now, what were some of the effects of the government shutdown with the IRS? And in fact, this week is the beginning of the tax season. In the previous week, the phone lines were open. It is my understanding that people were able to get clients set up for currently not collectible, but there was some debate about whether payment plans could be set up over the phones or if people had to go online, and even if those were available. The fax machines were not in use. There was some debate about whether they would even be up and working during the shutdown or if they would be set up at some point. At that point, I was not able to fax anything to the CAF unit, but as of January 28, I was able to fax my documents to the CAF unit and get power of attorney documents in the queue for processing. Now, also on Monday, January 28, there was an American Bar Association Section of Taxation webinar about the effects of the shutdown and what to do going forward, plus preparing if there would be another government shutdown in the near future with regards to the IRS. One piece I wanted to highlight during that time is that the tax court filings, if people submitted petitions during that time by the United States Postal Service, that mail was being held during the government shutdown with the potential to be released to the tax court on January 28. But if people were using private services like UPS or FedEx, then that was likely going to be returned mail from the United States tax court to those people. Now, one problem is that during the government shutdown, then people who were submitting petitions to the tax court, that is likely not going to be communicated to the IRS, and there are assessment notices that will go out 110 days after the original notice of deficiency or other documents that make people eligible for tax court. So if there is not that communication regarding petitions filed with the tax court, then the IRS is going to be automatically submitting notices because of computer deadlines. People will be receiving those notices that they have an assessment from the IRS, and potentially also they have a petition on record with the tax court. So anyone working with them will have to do some extra work to get the IRS to release those assessment notices that are now in place. Another issue is that with regard to the timeliness of petitions filed with the tax court, that the tax court does not have the ability to allow for any equitable tolling or any kind of equitable treatment of those petitions filed. They only have the authority to count the number of days and look at what is allowed for that filing. That Congress has the ability to waive timeliness, but the tax court does not have the ability to give any equitable treatment to petitions that were filed during the shutdown, and if there are any issues with the Postal Service or private delivery services during that time, all they can look at is whether the documents were filed on time or not. Part of that is an issue with the tax court that the documents are filed when received, that there needs to be proof of delivery with those documents. But if people did have their documents returned to them during the shutdown, they are supposed to send that returned mail into the tax court to show that they were filing the petition on time, that it was timely filed. Now, Brian Camp of Texas Tech University, a professor there, has been writing at Procedurally Taxing on these various tax court timing issues during the government shutdown. Now, under Section 7502, the mailbox rule states that timely mailing is timely filing. There is a case stating that when the tax court is inaccessible, then everything gets one extra day that is the not a holiday or a weekend. So potentially on January 28, anything that was due during the shutdown, everyone would have that last day to be filing. Now, overall, with the government shutdown, some of the tips that the webinar was presenting that how to approach the IRS during this time or just in general with the backup that the IRS is going to have, to remember that patience is a virtue, to maintain documentation and be prepared to provide it to the service. Hopefully there will be written guidance from the service on any issues that resulted from the shutdown, and hopefully there will be a taxpayer advocate directive. But one article has already noted that there were 5 million pieces of paper that came into the IRS during the shutdown, that this is a much higher level than expected, and so they're going to be backed up during this time. Other tips and best practices: not to ignore statutory or regulatory deadlines, to document everything, to obtain proof of mailing always, and make good faith efforts to follow normal processes and explain in written submission if there is an inability to follow such processes and the steps or alternative actions taken. Also to provide written and telephone updates to IRS employees, such as a revenue agent or officer, appeals officer, or chief counsel attorney, even if you know the employee is on furlough if we experience another shutdown. Hopefully these are tips that will help you out during this period or if we come into another shutdown in the near future. Also, the leadership for the Taxpayer Advocate Service Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Administration asked for feedback from the tax clinics on how clients were impacted by the government shutdown. So I was going to pass on some of the highlights that I submitted. First, the phone communications with the IRS were down from December 22 until January 22nd. I mentioned that some clinics were able to get clients into currently not collectible status during the last week of the government shutdown, but there were mixed reports on success about getting clients set up with payment plans either over the phone or online during the week. Fax communications were not working for the IRS during the shutdown. Reports were mixed on whether the faxes would be working or whether there was a contract that prevented the IRS from using fax machines during the shutdown. The Taxpayer Advocate Service was unavailable to work on or assist with taxpayer problems. The LITC Toolkit, this is a website for low-income taxpayer clinics, that did not receive any updates during the shutdown. Communications were limited from the IRS regarding any updates or news during the shutdown. I turned then to specifics for Kansas and my clinic. The IRS Kansas practitioner liaison meeting on January 17 did not occur. This prevented IRS communications about happenings within the IRS for Kansas taxpayers and those who assist them. VITA training did not have IRS input during the government shutdown. I attended the Leavenworth VITA training This was a coordinated effort between Fort Leavenworth and civilian volunteer tax preparers. The main situation that impacted my clinic was the tax court calendar call scheduled for Kansas City, Missouri for February 25 and March 11. There was no negotiating during the government shutdown, and then the tax court website seemed to be indicating that the February 25 calendar call might be canceled. Then with the shutdown ended, it was back on. So there has been a bit of back and forth about the government shutdown affecting tax court. Right now we have a pro bono day scheduled for February 16 with the Kansas City tax clinics and IRS counsel. But if we do not have government funding on February 16, then IRS counsel cannot attend. The main thing I would say of the government shutdown impact is that there were no communications or negotiations with the IRS, so client cases ground to a halt during that time, but they continued to be charged interest on their tax cases, whether those cases move forward or not. My conclusion was that this is a horrible way for our government to function. The direct effects on government employees and indirect effects on those who work with them or those who have contact with them, there will be a ripple effect, an impact that will continue for several months. The shutdown was not worth the cost. Overall, I think there are several impacts to many government agencies, many government functions that people were impacted by that no one would have expected from the government shutdown. The bottom line that someone else mentioned to me is that basically we do not appreciate the government until it is gone because there are so many impacts the government has on us. But for those of us specifically that deal with the IRS, we would rather them be there than not so that we can move our cases forward, that we can try to improve things for our clients and various taxpayers, that we do want to make efforts. We do appreciate the people in the IRS who are trying to help people, who are trying to help the government, and we would like them to be around rather than not. Hopefully there will not be a government shutdown after February 15, but we do have to prepare just in case there is. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.